This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
On the surface, everything looks normal. But if you want to get an idea how Donald Trump and Elon Musk are living right now, or as I should put it, trying to survive right now, both personally, politically, and yes, even physically, check out this article in the UK Daily Mail. It's about Elon Musk's baby mama, Ashley St. Clair. That's the pregnancy plot. Well, halfway through it, I don't want to get into the scintillating stuff with the 13th baby. I don't care about Elon Musk's personal life. It's not that interesting. But I do care about this. She shared screenshots of her and Elon Musk having this relationship, I guess, just to prove that you know, they did have a relationship and he was the father, right? Okay, in this particular exchange from before the election, it's a screenshot. He's begging her not to tell anybody that the baby is his, because he is terrified for the child's safety. Listen to the back and forth. Here's what Elon Musk writes. I get credible death threats every day. Credible death threats every day. I'm number two after Trump for assassination, he says. Wake up. This is not the time for sentiment at the expense of safety. If I make a mistake on security, he writes, and then the child's name's blanked out, but it's blank. If I make a mistake on security, blank will never know his father. And then she texts back, that's why the father spot on his birth certificate is blank right now and why he has my last name. Elon Musk messages back, necessary for now. Only the paranoid survive. The threat level will reach insane levels until the election is decided. Loose lips sink ships. That line just sticks with me. If I'm not paranoid, if I make one mistake on my security, I will die. This is how he lives. But it's also how Trump lives. And it's not just about assassination. Trump's last term was not all it could have been because so much of it was consumed by the hoaxes and attempted coups of the deep state. The number one trending story right now by hits and clicks in America, according to the app that we use, is Dan Bongino, appointed as second in command at the FBI. A lot of folks asking the question, especially the hysterical liberal media this weekend, but he has no FBI experience. Yes, that's why he was hired. Trump can't trust anyone from inside the FBI. Why? Because they were all hired by the last three really FBI directors, Robert Mueller, James Comey, and Andrew McCabe, who you will remember was referred to the Justice Department for criminal investigation for covering up the leaks of classified documents and material. Criminal charges. The only reason he's not in prison right now is because the Biden regime inherited the Department of Justice and ignored it. Folks, this is who was doing the hiring at these agencies. Can you imagine going into them? So the media's chief complaint is correct here. Oh, Trump doesn't want experienced people. He wants loyal people. Yes, he does. Because if he fails to cut these agencies down to size and purge them, the same thing's going to happen again. He's going to leave the White House in 4 years. He will no longer have the Supreme Court granted immunity. Remember, they ruled that while he's president, he's immune. Folks, they're going to be waiting for him with handcuffs. They're going to raid Mar-a-Lago again. He's got to send in people who are loyal to him and only him, but not just him, to us, the 70 million plus who voted for Trump. You don't want experienced people. And folks, you know why he chose Bongino? If you've listened to his podcast, which I don't want to encourage you to do, because obviously I want you to listen to this one, no one has dug deeper or has a broader understanding of the Russia collusion hoax and its origins and the players. His research on that was next level. I'll never forget how he broke how back in 2017, classified hearing, right? Behind closed doors, they bring in the head of CrowdStrike. Because remember, supposedly the basis for the Russian hoax was that Russia hacked the DNC server to help Trump, who was, of course, their puppet, right? They bring in the CEO of CrowdStrike and they ask him under oath, was the DNC server hacked? And he says, well, we don't know. You don't know? No, we're not sure. You mean it might not have been hacked? Yeah. Well, why are you telling everyone, including the FBI, that Russia hacked it? And he said, well, if it was hacked, it'd probably be Russia. Folks, that was the basis of the entire hoax. And Dan Bongino got that. This is a guy. I'll tell you what Bongino's there for. Cash Patel, full time, does not have time to ferret out all those people behind the Russia hoax. Bongino does. And he knows exactly where to go. That's why he was brought in. Folks, Trump is, you got to watch these appointments. He's trying to survive both physically and politically in order to be able to govern. Folks, the evidence of that is all throughout the news today. Look where Trump headed first. His first order of business. I would have not guessed it would be U.S. aid, but I understand why it was now. Because USAID drove the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. They also drove the impeachments. And one of the best articles on it, I'll attach it in the sources today, you can read it for yourself, is from liberal reporter Michael Schellenberger. And it's about an organization called OCCRP. OCCRP did the research that the CIA whistleblower cited four times in his complaint that ultimately got Trump impeached. But that wasn't all. USAID funded OCCRP. OCCRP before that, going all the way back to 2017 and 2018, was critical to the Russia collusion hoax, to coming up with, through their supposedly independent reporting funded by you, the taxpayer, via USAID, that ultimately ended up in the Steele dossier, which provided the basis for the Russia collusion hoax. USAID also funded a legal nonprofit that turned around and funded the lawsuits against Donald Trump, including for fraud in New York, on which he was ultimately convicted. The fines were civil. But remember what they did. They figured out what his net worth was and just fined him that. So had he not won the presidency, he'd be bankrupt today. That's how serious that this is. And it didn't end there. They also funded the other civil suits in part against Trump with taxpayer money through this nonprofit. So, folks, this is a life and death struggle. To most people, both literally, physically, but also politically, because USAID is the right arm of the CIA. So you're watching the struggle here. OK, look what happened this week. Trump goes into court, finally wins the ability to fire people. He immediately fires 2,000 out of USAID. Right. There's 10,000 employees total. What does he do with the rest of them? He puts them on leave. So they're on paid leave. Right. But that's not good enough because you've got to keep them out of their computers. Folks, this is where they launch their coups out of. This is about survival for Trump. Yes, it's about saving money and ending the waste, but that's not even the primary thing. It's about preventing his administration from being compromised and hijacked with another coup hoax again. So look what he did with USAID to be triple safe. And remember, USAID also targeted Elon Musk for demonetization, funding that program that pressured major corporations not to advertise on any conservative media, and specifically not to advertise on X. So this is why Elon and Trump made a beeline for USAID. But folks, here's the thing with USAID, okay? Trump is clearly so afraid to have these people out there. He had to make sure they couldn't even get to their computer. So what did he do? He terminated the lease on the building and the landlord locked the doors. He does not want these people even at their computers. They are that dangerous. Finally, folks, take a look at the Joint Chiefs. That was a source of another coup against Trump. By the way, do you realize we learned last week from Revolver that while the Pentagon was giving $9 million to Reuters to, quote, deceive the public, unquote, they were also funding NewsGuard, which was an organization that blacklisted conservative outlets, including Truth Social. Again, intimidating advertisers. He don't advertise here. This is a bad thing. We're watching this inside the government. So the Pentagon very much at war with the American people, right? Did you see the firing of the Joint Chiefs of Staff over the weekend? And the media went wild over it. Here's why. And this is a piece by Colin Campbell. Do you remember when Mark Milley was the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Donald Trump had been beaten by Joe Biden? There was a few months between that and him taking over office. Milley commits textbook treason. He actually calls up our worst enemy on earth, his counterpart in China, and says, oh, by the way, don't worry. If Donald Trump tries to attack you in any way, the military will rebel. We're not going to follow his orders. Then he goes and gets high-ranking members of the military who answer to him to swear allegiance to him instead of the commander-in-chief. That is textbook treason, and it's a coup. Well, I've been saying for a long time, we never found out, Milley is gone, but we never found out who pledged allegiance to him. They need to be purged and tried for treason right alongside him. And yet the left was so comfortable with this that Bob Woodward included it in his book. Milley bragged about doing it, something he could be tried and convicted for. That's the crazy part. I hope he is. It's really critical. Okay, so all of that went on, right? There's still this question about who these others were. Well, James O'Keefe, the investigative journalist, you know, he's the one who tricks people into thinking they're on a date, and then he wires up the journalist and records them. Well, the latest victim was a guy by the name of Jamie Menina. He is an advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and a former FBI special agent. Funny how whenever there's just really sleazy bad things going on, it's always connected to the FBI somehow. Anyway, in the video, he brags that he participated in a huge meeting of military leaders, a lot of them generals, in a room called the Tank. It's a sensitive compartmentalized information facility, or a SCIF, right inside the Pentagon. According to Menina, some of them were retired, some of them are still in the military. These discussions involved some folks as high ranking as four-star officers, focused on strategies to protect people from Trump and explore what they can do to counter his incoming administration, including suggesting the military might need to act to preserve national security or democratic norms. Folks, that's a coup. They're plotting a coup, and he's admitted to it on camera. Well, within hours of the video coming out, he got fired by the Pentagon. Well, according to this article by Colin Campbell, Trump's response was a swift and decisive purge. The January video set off alarm bells within Trump's transition team, already wary of deep state resistance from his first term. Yeah, he has watched these people hijack his presidency. They ended up in Melania's underwear drawer and on, you know, his front yard. And folks, that particular court case, you know, Trump was facing over 30 years, that was a classified documents case. It came out of the National Archives. So anyone, because they referred him for a crime, even though Biden had done much worse, they ignored it. So any one of these agencies, Trump understands this. He has faced the rest of his life in prison. Any one of these weaponized agencies could come for him either physically or politically at any time. And these people don't hesitate to break the law to do it. Musk understands this too. Now, pay attention to this story. It barely got any attention over the weekend.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But it's huge. Headline, CIA set for historic shakeup. Largest firing in 50 years underway. In a stunning move, the Central Intelligence Agency has announced plans for its largest mass firing of intelligence officers since 1977, over 50 years, and it may be even bigger than that. This unprecedented decision marks a significant shift in the agency's operations as it seeks to streamline its workforce and refocus its efforts. Yeah, away from coups against Trump. Because, folks, who ran USAID ultimately? It was the right hand of the CIA. So when I'm laying out all of the things done to Trump, every single one of them had origins in funding from inside USAID. That is how the CIA operates when it does regime change in other countries. So what you're looking at right now is a purge from inside the CIA. According to the New York Times, they've declined to say the Trump administration how big those numbers will go. And what's kind of brilliant here is that all of these purges have been kind of couched under sort of DOGE and the, oh, hey, we're broke, we got to cut a bunch of people. And that's definitely going on too, programs as well, at a, you know, at a huge rate. But a lot of that too is cover for purging these agencies, one after another after another, so that Trump will physically survive this term, but also get out of it politically in one piece without some hoax derailing him and Musk again. And finally, there's this weekend. A lot of folks on our side were baffled on X why Trump would appoint Kash Patel to head the FBI and the ATF. And I was wondering if any of my Battleground America listeners immediately knew why. Because the reason he did it is mind-blowing. And Trump hasn't said anywhere why he did it. I just know why he did it. Because the Democrat Party and the cartels have been merging since the time of Obama, at least. And we know that the ATF, the FBI, and to some extent the DEA have been running weapons, in particular to the Sinaloa cartel, which they've been protecting. So, folks, when Patel takes over at the ATF, he's going to inherit a crime scene. Because the ATF and FBI have been arming the Mexican cartels, as I said, since Fast and Furious under Obama. And it's part of that merger of the Democrat Party and certain chosen cartels in which the FBI and the ATF and the DEA protected cartels' interests and helped them to grow by arming them and protecting their criminal networks. And I'll put the links for all of this. There is a stunning Fox News story. I don't know if you remember because I've talked about it before on this podcast. August 5th, 2011. The headline is America's Third War. The U.S. cut a deal with the Sinaloa cartel, said court documents. Okay, so none of this was supposed to come out. But Vicente Zambada Niebla was a top-ranking cartel boss. And as part of testimony regarding Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, it came out, this is absolutely stunning, that the DEA, ATF, and FBI helped get this, finance and arm the Sinaloa cartel. They also provided protection for their criminal activities and promised not to actively prosecute drug and human trafficking. Yeah, these cartels are ours. Now, the cover story for this with the FBI was, well, you know, it's we did that because it's part of a divide and conquer strategy where we'll finance them and then they'll red out the rival cartels. If they're rival cartels, you don't have to arm and finance them. They'll rat them out for free to get them rounded up. So, folks, during Obama and Fast and Furious, they were merely running guns. By the time that Biden got in office, this is how bad it got. Quote from the Associated Press, this is January of last year, January of 24. The Mexican Defense Department warned the U.S. about weapons entering Mexico that are for the exclusive use of the U.S. Army. The Mexican government pled with the U.S. to find and stop the shipments to the cartels of military-grade weapons manufactured exclusively for the U.S. military. So they had to be coming from here because the Mexican military could no longer counter the cartels that the FBI, ATF, and DEA were de facto arming. Folks, do you remember the first Iranian assassin that we caught here in America came here to kill Pompeo, Trump, Bolton? Do you remember who ultimately he hired to do that or attempted to hire before he was caught? A hitman with the cartels. Understand this is a war between the Democrat Party and its loose affiliates that include the cartels, the FBI, the ATF, and yes, even Iran. That's why appointing Kash Patel to head the ATF is absolutely brilliant. So rather than Patel spending 4 years investigating the ATF from outside the ATF at the FBI, Patel can just access all the evidence directly from inside both organizations. This tells me Trump absolutely gets this. And he's declared them terror organizations. And over the weekend vowed he's not just hunting them in Mexico militarily. He's going to hunt them in 43 countries. That's because he has to. Because, folks, since Obama, the cartels were built up, weaponized by the U.S. government. I think eventually, I'm convinced of this, to serve as muscle for the Democrats on this continent, including inside America. With folks, the cartels have already come to control crime in over 20 states. We know that. And, you know, we've had it on this podcast before. It got so bad, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton warned that before Biden, cartel operatives used to run from U.S. Border Patrol. By the end of the Biden regime, the Border Patrol and the Department of Homeland Security were calling the cartels to coordinate the drop-off points for illegal immigrants. And remember, Paxton warned under Biden, the cartels, the government, the Democrat Party were building networks. They were part of a merger of all three entities. This poses a profound personal and political threat, physical threat even, to Donald Trump. He's got to dismantle this in 4 years. And folks, again, Trump's war against the cartels is very much a war against the Democrat Party. I mean, he understands he's got 4 years to dismantle their transnational networks inside and outside of the USA, or they're going to, you know, function here like they do in Mexico, simply just assassinating politicians they don't control. And if you look at the last political season in Mexico, it was remarkable. It was basically about a year long. Over 100 assassination attempts. The cartels actually did assassinate 63 candidates they didn't control. Folks, that was well on its way to happening here in blue areas of America, where cartels and gangs have already taken over criminal networks, like Venezuela's Tren de Aragua. That's one of the gangs that is going to have the terror designation and that they're going to hunt. Why? What was happening? Remember, it was remarkable. Tren de Aragua was taking over apartment complexes from the landlords in Colorado. But what was even more remarkable is that Homeland Security had briefed the police, the attorney general knew, the governor knew, and they all lied to cover for Tren de Aragua. So you got Democrats all the way up to the governor lying and denying that it is happening. I believe this is part of the merger of the two entities. And by the way, this is how Maduro operates in Venezuela. I think the Democrats are copying it, with most of the political killings attributed to criminal gangs loosely affiliated with his leadership, but distant enough for deniability. Do you remember after the recent election, people were so angry they got bold enough, they started to come out on the streets and protest, and these criminal gangs would just ride by and gun them down. They would just open fire on them. Well, it wasn't the police. It wasn't the military. So there's deniability there. That is exactly the model that I think they are trying to bring here via the de facto arming of, you know, an importation of Mexican and Venezuelan gangs. And folks, as J.D. Vance pointed out, do you remember this? Just last week, and he's asked by Hannity, hey, you know, how'd you find all of these, like, you know, really wanted illegal immigrant criminals And he said, oh, well, because the Biden administration knew exactly where they were. They even had their addresses, but refused to pick them up. And he said, we just picked them up. ISIS wanted to go get them for a long time. So, folks, this is why Trump is literally going to war, not just in the homeland, but dismantling their networks worldwide. And, folks, it's also why the New York Times and the mainstream media outlets are desperately trying to protect the cartels. New York Times just had a headline that we shouldn't take out the cartels because it could hurt the U.S. economy. No, it's going to hurt their voter drive at the border is what it's going to do. So, folks, there's a second layer to all of this. Let me give you another example. Do you see how Trump treated Zelensky last week? Absolute derision for him. Why? Well, look at it from Trump's perspective. Who funded the show that caused Zelensky to rise to prominence? USAID. Who funded regime change in Ukraine? USAID. Now, where did the second assassin come from who tried to kill Trump on the golf course? Weirdly, Ukraine. He'd been training with the Azov battalions who were trained by the CIA under Barack Obama. Imagine if you were Trump. You'd be sitting across from Zelensky if the two of them sat down to negotiate, wondering, did he send that guy to kill me? I mean, this was a guy who was interviewed by multiple mainstream outlets and quoted in the New York Times as a recruiter for the Ukrainian military units and the Azov battalion. And he ends up on the golf course taking shots at Trump. You'd be sitting across from Zelensky wondering if he and the CIA didn't try to kill you, especially since the FBI and Secret Service still refuse to turn over the 33,000 documents on both assassination attempts that Congress requested months ago. Folks, there are going to be things revealed coming up. You think it's been crazy so far with Doge and everything? That is nothing compared to what's coming. So if you're watching Trump, Trump is trying again to survive physically and politically by neutering and shutting down the main sources that contributed to the coups and the hijacking of his presidency next time. Pray he gets them all. Because, folks, here's where we are, okay? They built a quadruple redundant system, right? They were going to put him in prison for up to 700 years across five cases, some in state, some at federal. So even if he got a federal pardon, wouldn't matter. He'd still have the state charges, the state convictions, right? They had all of that going. Two assassination attempts, right? They left their planners. They planned all this out. No way a guy survives five court cases and two assassination attempts. They didn't have another plan after that. That's why right now there seems to be kind of a lull. There's no real narrative. They're lost. Because, folks, who would actually think anyone could beat that, get elected, stay outside a prison cell, and survive physically after two assassination attempts? Folks, they had no plan because they didn't think they needed one. And Trump knows what I know. They're making up for that fast. They're cooking up their next plot. And Trump is trying to close all the doors it might come through.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.